Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the Senate Resources Committee to order. Please let the record reflect that it is 3:33 p.m. on Wednesday, March 14, 2022. And also that we have a quorum present today. Our Senators Stevens, Von Imhoff, Kawasaki, Keel, Machicki, and myself, Senator Rivak. Senator Bishop is in other meetings currently. I would also like to thank those staffing the committee, Committee Aide Inti Mile Harbison, LIO Moderator Kelsey Riker, and Juliana Singh from Records. Thank you as always. At this time, please turn off or silence your cell phones. Today's agenda consists of one item, SB 219, Transfer of Public Use Cabin Permits. This is the first time this bill is before the Senate Resources Committee. We're going to jump right into SB 219. Here to present the bill today, we have the bill sponsor, Senator Machicki, and his staff, Madison Govan. Senator Machicki, if you'd like to stay or take the seat, please do as you wish. Put yourself on the record and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Peter Machicki, District O on the Kenai.
For the record, Madison Govan, staff to Senate President Machicki.
So, Mr. Chairman and fellow members of the Senate Resources Committee, I thought I'd just do a brief introduction and go back to my seat, and Madison could then do a sectional and see what kind of questions you have.
Perfect.
So, I don't know. What year was it? 20 years ago? Approximately, there was Senate Bill 109. Its goal was to kind of rewrite the remote cabin permit program. This bill deals with one of the issues that was faced, or that was 109 was trying to deal with. So our bill does this. It solves one problem. So the personal use cabin permit program was put in place back in 84 to solve an issue with Alaskans that had previously sort of just built a cabin on state land. So the original intention was to keep the land in state hands but have it available for public use. In 97, HB 109 was passed, and that terminated the permit program, yet let people that were holding permits keep them until they expired. And they expired for several reasons. One was the last person on the permit could pass away, or folks may have failed to apply for an extension. There was 558 permits kind of originally, and there's only 126 remaining. This bill, and I think you know what these cabins mean to families and the places where they've been located and used for generations in some cases. Senate Bill 219 is designed to solve one of the issues, and that is in the premature death of the last person on the permit, to allow the family to retain it for the kind of average lifespan of that Alaskan. So I'll tell you a little story, and this is a family from my district. They own a cabin in the middle of nowhere, Through no fault of their own, there was an airplane accident, and that person, who's several years younger than me, lost his life in that accident. Well, cabin goes away. Now, the expected term, in accordance with this cabin permit program for the family, as we work through other issues like Senate Bill 133 that we've heard in this committee, simply allows the family to keep the cabin in their usage for the expected term of that individual's lifespan. It does not extend to a new term or to a, if you were to put it in an infant's name, it doesn't allow a new lifespan. It just completes the individuals for the few cabins that are remaining if someone were to prematurely die. And as we go through invited testimony today, you'll understand kind of the importance of this issue in this one case. But it doesn't solve the overall issues. There's a lot to deal with and we'll talk about Senate Bill 133. We've heard it. We'll talk about it more in the future. It establishes a process for leasing a remote recreational site and possibly purchasing the property over time, which is a worthy discussion. In the meantime, this is about what I see as a gap when they originally did this program to allow a family to retain what has sometimes been in the family for generations for at least the expected term that was created in the other program. So I'm going to kind of leave it at that. I'll hand it off to Madison, and I'll come up there, and we'll see what kind of questions we'll have.
Thank you again for the record. Madison Govan, Staff to Senate President Michicki. And I will just walk you guys through the sectional real quick. And then we have Christy Collis on the line from DNR for any additional questions about the program. Section 1 amends the uncodified law of the state of Alaska by adding a new section which allows for transfer of permits for personal use cabin on state land. Subsection A outlines the process by which a cabin permit may be transferred to an immediate family member in the event of a premature death. The immediate family member may assume privileges of the permit for the remaining life expectancy of the original permit holder provided by the National Center for Health Statistics. Subsection B directs DNR to adopt the regulations that would allow an immediate family member to assume permit privileges. Subsection C requires the immediate family members submit their name to DNR within 30 days of the death. Subsection D, upon transfer, the permit is only valid during the lifetime of the immediate family member. Subsection E and F directs the department to adopt regulations necessary for implementation of this section and adds a definition for personal use cabin permit. Section 2 amends the uncodified law of the state of Alaska to add personal use cabin permits that expired on or after January 1st, 2020 and before the effective date of this act, following the department to carry out the intent of this legislation. Subsection A, the Department of Natural Resources shall allow an immediate family member to assume privileges of the deceased permit holder's permit if it expired on or after January 1st, 2020. Subsection B adds that the family member of a permit holder who passed between January 1st, 2020 and the effective date must apply to the Department of Natural Resources within 60 days after the effective date for them to assume the former privileges of the permit. Subsection C defines the period of time which an immediate family member may assume the permit privileges. In Section 3, this act takes effect immediately. And I'll stand by for any questions. And again, we have Christy Collis on the line if you guys have more questions from DNR. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Senator Von Imhoff, then Senator Stevens.
Thank you. So I just wanted to clarify the amount of time remaining on the permit if the original permit holder passes away, because it says subsection D, page 2, lines 23, 25, upon transfer, the permit is only valid during the lifetime of the immediate family member. So if the permit holder was the dad, mm-hmm. and he died at age 60, and he gave it to his youngest son, or the youngest son applied, who was 14 at the time. Is it until the father reaches 78, allegedly the father would have reached 78.8, or, because it says the immediate family member, not the deceased family member. So is it till the child reaches 78.8, or the dad would have reached 78.8?
So I could, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator McKinney.
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff. So if the individual was 60 years old, the only extension would be for, what's the word that I used, the kind of expected term of the original permit holder. So it would add 28.8 years, no matter who, because the according to the Vital Statistics System, the Alaska life expectancy is 78.8 right now, so it would add 28.8 years to the permit before it expired. The program is going to expire unless it's updated through another bill. This doesn't extend the program. It just adds the remainder of the life expectancy of the original permit holder. So it would be 28.8 years.
Okay. So thank you, because it just says it says during the lifetime of the immediate family member is what the sectional says versus the, and later in the second page it says of the original former privileges of the permit. So it's just, I just wanted to make sure. And just state for the record, you know, 78.8 years, is that male years or female years? Because females generally live a little longer.
That's, Mr. Chairman, that's true. Females are hard on us sometimes, so we don't live as long. But the it would be unconstitutional for us to separate this bill by gender, which we tried to match the gender of the original permit holder family member at first, and we got a so if it was a female, we would use the female life expectancy. If it was a male, we'd use the male life expectancy. And what we learned is that would be unconstitutional, that we would have to match it generally with the combination of both.
Senator Stevens.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, that answers my question. Thank you.
Other questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I started to build myself a flow chart to understand the bill when I ran out of time. So I will ask some very basic questions. The first of which is, could I go get one of these permits tomorrow?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, no, the permit program was repealed back in 97 with HB 109.
Thank you. And then a follow-up, Mr. Chairman. So then, can you point me in the bill to where I'm looking that limits this, the provisions of this bill, to only those permits, so that I have a clear reference?
Through the chair, Senator Keel. Just for clarification, you're wanting the section of the bill where it clarifies active permits, is that what you're saying?
Mr. Chairman, just sorry for asking an unclear question. Can you point me to the language in the bill that limits it so that if we started cabin permits tomorrow, this wouldn't apply to those unless we did something new and explicit?
Senator Machicki.
Yes, thank you. If you look on page 1, line 11 and 12, it is only good for the lifetime of the original holder of the permit. That permit system is closed. This only allows the extension of that, the benefits to that original permit holder's lifespan, natural lifespan. If there's another program, there may be a program that allows these people to purchase. I mean, if a bill like 133 were to pass, they may be able to purchase that land in this, which is kind of a little bit of my hope for some of these folks that have prematurely lost use of their cabins. I hope something does come along the administration. So remember, 109 was designed for that. Hasn't happened since. Since 97. This administration wants to complete what was required by the legislature in 97. And if it does, I hope that people can retain their family's ownership in these cabins. But this bill doesn't do that. This bill simply extends the term of the original permit holder that dies prematurely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then one more follow-up. What was the language, and we may need to get this from DNR, but what was the term of the permit that was originally issued for these old cabin permits? What did that say on it? Could we get that information?
We have Christy Colas on the line or Brent Goodrum from DNR. Let's try Christy. Could you please put yourself on the record and let us know if you can answer Senator Keel's question or not?
Yes. Hi, Chair Rivak. This is, for the record, this is Christy Collis. I'm the Chief of Operations for the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Through the chair, Senator Keel, was it Keel that asked him? Sorry, Senator.
Yes, Senator Keel.
So back in 1985 or 84, right around the time this was passed, we had an application. And we had the ability for individuals to put their name on the application and then anyone else that had interest in the cabin. And so sometimes you could have 1 to 10 individuals, even more, on an application. And the permit, when it was issued to the agents. They designated someone as the primary that would sign the permit and kind of be the main POC for the division. Through the years, it's been 6 years that we were able to authorize these. And as they come up for renewal, as long as they apply and they pay their fees and they stay in good standing, they can get another 6-year term. And as long as anyone on the original application remains alive and able to sign and continue with this permit, they're able to continue to renew the cabin site.
Senator Keel?
I think that gets me started down the road. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Stevens.
Just what happens to the cabin once that permit has expired, once the person who was primary has reached 78.8, does the state take over that cabin, and then is it available to other people, for other people to use?
Christy?
Senator, or through the chair, Senator Stevens, at this time, so yes, they would come to the state, like Senator Machicki has spoken about. There are some proposed bills, SB 133, where someone could potentially nominate a site for disposal. So if that was to be available, then that's an option. But at this time, that site would come to the state. A lot of times we do request that the remaining individuals, if any, remove the cabin from the location. Sometimes Fish and Game, if it's dilapidated and there's no one left, Fish and Game, and in coordination with DMLW and DNR, will go out and remove some of these dilapidated cabins.
Thank you.
Questions? Senator Von Imhoff?
So, thank you. So, you said this program started in 85 and then was repealed in, was it 97 or repealed at a later date? Why was it repealed? What happened?
Senator Von Imhoff, through the chair, you know, I'm not 100% sure on the legislative background on why it was repealed. The thing is only those people that had a cabin already established could actually obtain one of these permits. So there was no new entry into this program. So it could have been, and this is me speculating, it could have been repealed based off the fact that no new authorizations were going to be issued. And so we just kept all of the current authorizations on the book, and we continue to run the program as these permits. We started at 558 cabins, and we're down to 126, just based off of individuals no longer being interested, or, you know, as Senator Machicki has put out in this bill, have passed away. So that's kind of how we've gotten down to 126, but unsure exactly why it was repealed.
Thank you, Ms. Collis, and we'll maybe let the bill sponsor add any comments if you have, Senator Machicki.
Well, I guess the way I'd answer that is the 109 thing. So the program was repealed, but then there was legislative intent for a rewrite of the remote cabin permit program, one that would either allow the sale or lease of the land for a remote cabin site. I think the thought was, at that time, if a family, I mean, I know of some families that have had their cabins for a very, very long time, generations, that if it was this cabin that was, you know, permissible to lease for that many years, that there would be a program at some point where it was no longer a lease situation and that they would be able to purchase that land. So why that hasn't occurred, I don't know. But I know there's a renewed effort in that, partially because of the cabins that people are losing after. And I have one example of a family whose grandparents, parents, kids, and grandkids have spent every Thanksgiving and Christmas in this cabin that they built 40 years ago or 50 years ago that are still maintaining their permit in the program. I personally would like to see that expanded to other opportunities for Alaskans, those of us that have had cabins in remote Alaska that aren't in the way of anything or anybody. I mean, it's a great opportunity, but it's kind of where we are. So if another bill passes, that's kind of a different story. Again, my bill is kind of directed at just a family getting kind of the full intended use under previous legislation. So there are still some very young names on permits that had been extended back then, right? If you did it with an infant, when the cabin program expired, then you would have potentially many years left on your cabin. There were some that just didn't have the forethought to look 10 or 20 years down the road on whose names were on that list. And those are some of the families that this bill is trying to support.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator Von Imhoff has another question.
Yeah, so I guess that was just sort of my question a little bit. If this was so successful back then with 500 and some odd applications, why not do it again? Why not resurrect the program? If there was that much appetite all the way back then, I bet there's as much, if not more, appetite now. And so I guess that's somewhat of a rhetorical question, because I suppose unless there's a specific state problem that can't happen, I suppose it's just legislative desire through constituent outreach that a new bill is dropped.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Machicki.
Yeah, there has been a new bill dropped, and we can talk about that any time that you care to. I think the demand is there. I don't know of any issues. I'd like to hear from the department. I mean, I know the problems they deal with now is so you get this 6-year extension, and sometimes people don't open their mail, and it's time for renewal, and they forget, and some people have lost their cabins because of that. The department's been pretty good working for folks when it's been sort of an administrative thing, but they get a letter often that says your cabin must be removed in 60 days, and they panic, and they start calling around and realize that there's often a way to work through that. But I would like to see the cabin program expanded. I think it's a good program, particularly when the state selects tracts of land that are applicable and appropriate for that usage, right? You're not going to pick in the middle of a state park, but there are lots of segments of state land where this is common. The Caribou Hills on the Kenai Peninsula is one area. There's been some cabins on the west side of Cook Inlet where the only people to kind of use that land where some of those cabins exist have been these families that have a way to get there, a boat or an airplane or something. So I think it's been relatively harmless, but this is a narrow bill. We should have a greater discussion about a larger bill that would allow other new families to have the same opportunity.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you. It certainly makes sense, but I do have a question that maybe a simple answer to it. We have a lot of set net sites on my island. People who fish and have permits to fish. Are those cabins on state land?
Senator Machicki.
So through the chair, I don't know what you want to go to the department on, but typically those are with a shoreside lease that are related to the set net sites on state land. But yes, like in Kodiak and some places at Cook Inlet, sometimes they own the land and happen to get a site right there. But for others, there's a lease that includes the ability to construct a cabin as well to service their set net sites. It's not related to this program, but kind of a different program. And I don't think there's any risk of that program going away. I don't know if the department wants to comment on that.
Yeah, well, Christy, still on the line. Put yourself back on the record.
For the record, this is Christy Collis, Division Operations Manager for the Division of Mine, Land, and Water. So through the chair, Senator Bishop, those set net sites are authorized usually through a land use permit, which is a different program that we run here for commercial operators that can come in and obtain an authorization for building a cabin either through a permit, and some of them obtain leases if it's a larger structure. So that's just a program that we run for different commercial operations.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
So I think I understand you, Christy. I just want to make sure that this in no way would impact the commercial SetNet sites. They would have a big investment there, and it's a different permitting system entirely. Is that true?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, yes, that is true. It's a completely different program. The personal use cabin program was developed back in the 80s, as I said earlier, but just to clarify too, that program was developed to deal with existing trespass cabins. So you had to have had a cabin that was already established previously before you submitted this application, as many of them are located in legislatively designated areas. So it's a little outside of where we might normally authorize something through our remote rec program. So that's what the difference is with these PUCPs, is that they were to deal with a trespass issue in the past.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christy. Other questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This conversation has been sort of very helpful, and it's been kind of drilling in on the differences of different types. I know there are a couple of I don't know if they're leases or permits or cabin types we haven't talked about. There is a trapping cabin program, I think, and maybe periodically I see public notices for shelter cabins to go up on state land. Do those all have different terms? Is the land leased? How are those differentiated from this program?
Christy?
Through the chair, Senator Keel. The trapping cabin permits actually have their own statute, two statutes that are currently on the book for existing cabins prior to, I believe it was also around the 84 time frame, and then for new construction cabin permits to be issued. Those currently are 10-year authorizations, and then you just have to show that you are an active trapper and that you have a trap line in the area, so there's some requirements there. Those have a different set of fees, and it's under a different complete structure for authorizing. And then shelter cabins, those could be issued under a lease potentially if somebody wants to do it for public and charitable purposes. So if somebody wants to have those out there for others to use, we wouldn't consider that to be a commercial operation. So a lot of times we will try to authorize those under our leases, but it has to be a public and charitable use to kind of have that discount of fees.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Thank you, Christy. Other questions? Okay, we're going to move on to invited testimony. We'll start with Cindy Rainey Bell from Soldotna. Cindy, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
For the record, this is Cindy Rainey Bell, and I thank you for having this discussion. Thank you, Senator Michicki and Madison, for the work that you've done on this. My husband, Greg Bell, was the permit holder on one of these duck shacks for decades. And when they applied for the permit, with the family, you know, working together, I'm not sure where the miscommunication was, but they were told there could be only one person on the permit. And when my husband passed in this tragic, untimely airplane accident, and consequently I contacted DNR, and she said there was no one else on the permit, and that, you know, bummer, too bad, we lose it. And it's just a sad thing. So he was the youngest of the siblings, and that's why they put his name. Had they known, they could have put other names on there. They would have, but they didn't.
You cut out there, Cindy. Were you done, or did that conclude your testimony?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. Do we have any questions for Cindy? Okay, thanks again. Next, we have a brief at ease. All right, we're back on the record. Cindy, if you'd be so kind, if you're still online, we would love to have your written testimony. If you'd be so kind to submit that to SRES at akleg.gov or to my office, we'd sure appreciate that if you could. Okay. Seeing no more invited testimony, we're going to move on to public testimony. Public testimony is now open. Is there anybody in the room who wishes to testify on SB 219? Okay, I don't see any. Is there anyone online? We do have Mr. Ed Martin. Ed, put yourself on the record, name, affiliation, and 2 minutes, please, sir.
Once again, my name is Ed Martin Jr. I'm a resident of Kenai. Thank you very much, Chairman Reebok and other members of the Senate Resource Committee. I have a bit of reservations about this bill, only for a couple purposes. I do support it, but I have reservations under two scenarios. One, a date for which it's seems to retroactive too. Why not January 1st, 2019? Surely there was people that passed away of COVID unexpectedly, or maybe something else. That seems to be somewhat arbitrary. Second, the crystal ball concept that we seem to have for, you know, determining what's going to happen tomorrow. I really don't think that's good legislation to create that, but nevertheless. The Bell family probably put a lot of effort, a lot of memories. I have a lot of sympathy for that, being the son of a homesteader prior to statehood. As you know, I've testified numerous times over and over and over again. You have two other bills besides Senate Bill 219 here that you should have added, Chairman, to this committee hearing and moved them on out of committee. And one of them is Senate Bill 84. The other one is Senate Bill 133. 133 probably would encompass some of the concerns here if that could have been retroactive to some date. But in the light of all this, you know, you folks need to understand that the pioneer spirit of Alaska is wrapped up in the ownership of land, one in one nature or another. Whether we're accessing resources or we're just doing it for the recreation aspect of things. I believe the SetNet sites should be maybe portioned out to
Mr. Martin, if you could please wrap it up.
And sold. I can think of many different ideas in order to get our resources to the people, Chairman Reebok. And please, if I'm the only one on here, don't cut me off too soon. Like I said, add to this meeting, you should have had two more bills. So let's get something done. Thank you very much for hearing me out. I will be back again until these things happen. God bless you, and thank you for the testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. That's an excellent segue. I don't see anybody else online, first of all, to testify, so we're going to close public. Do it. Well, I'll just double check. Do we have anybody else? Okay. Okay, public testimony is now closed. It's an excellent segue. As the committee knows, there are a number of bills currently before resources dealing with trapper cabin and cabin-related issues. I think there's a conversation to be had regarding how to combine some parts or elements of these pieces of legislation to help solve some of the issues that that others face, such as trappers. I invite members of the committee and members of the public to please contact my office in order to have some conversations about how best to solve the issues or what's most appropriate. I would like to thank Senator Machicki and staff, the bill sponsor, for bringing this forward, being here to present it to us today. We're going to set this bill aside for further consideration and conversations. And Senator Machicki, if you have anything else to say, please do.
Just briefly, it's not an arbitrary date. We chose a date of properties that were still salvageable. So I just wanted the committee to understand that. We went back to where some of these issues can be corrected because it's not too late. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from committee members before we set it aside? Okay, thank you for your attention today. Thanks again to support staff. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be this coming Wednesday, March 16th, where we're going to review SB 204 hunting permit tag auctions and raffles. This meeting is now adjourned at 4:09 p.m.